Good morning. How about you stand up and give your neighbor a hug or a handshake or something like that this morning, okay? Act like you're happy to be here for a moment. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me
glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. You know the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Jesus Christ, he died for me, and he took away my sin. I will live with him for eternity. You know the Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this great day that you have given us. Lord, I want to thank you for your presence. I guess I would say, Lord, thank you for letting us be on your side. Your presence with us is assured. Father, you always tell us you're watching out for us, looking out for us, leading us, blessing us, guiding us. That's not the issue. The issue is whether or not we stay near you. And so, Father, thank you for your encouragement and your the hope that you give us, that you are always with us, Lord. Thanks that we have the opportunity to be your children. Thanks that we can meet together on this Sunday morning, that you gave us another day to come and celebrate you. And Lord, had you called us home yesterday, we would have been happy to be in your presence. Father, thanks for Ralph and the worship that he led this morning, that we could sing songs of praise to you and the wonderful talent and encouragement that you give us through him. Thanks for him being our brother. And pray today that you would bless us now as we look in your word. Father, your word is life. Now you are life. And open our hearts to hear you well. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. I wanted to get through this morning without really saying much about Harold Camping. I don't know how I can. Ralph led Jesus is Coming Soon, and that has been the bomb on Twitter for sure last night through today, that I hope all the churches lead Jesus is Coming Soon. And maybe you know who Harold Camping is, and maybe you don't, but he's the man who predicted that Jesus would come back yesterday. And so here we are. So everybody smile and be happy to still be here and serving Jesus on this planet. Ralph, thanks for the worship and the wonderful worship, by the way. Anyway, with that being said, I would like to know, truthfully, I would love to sit down with each of us individually, each of us sit down together and talk about what you really thought about that. Jesus coming back, you know, yesterday, and how you lived yesterday, and if your heart was racing, or if you had a lot of peace. Because while a lot of folks really did have great peace and were hoping that Jesus would come back, others were going, oh no, really? But I haven't lived. And all of those folks weren't the lost in the world. Some of those were those who called themselves children of God. We wrestle, don't we, with faith. We wrestle with who we are and our great identity that He's given us. We wrestle with all of that. And so this morning, I just wanted to ask a few questions, not based on Harold Camping. He was just perfect timing for what I've been wrestling with. And that is about our faith, who we really are and what do we believe about Jesus, about his stories, about the things that He called us to believe and have hope in. And so my first thought goes to Mark chapter 11, when Jesus, He curses a fig tree. He walks up to a fig tree and he looks for a fig on this tree, but figs aren't in season, and he gets nothing. And so he says, may no one ever eat of you again. Another day, the next day, they walk by and one of the disciples say, Master, this tree you cursed has withered from the roots. And he says, yeah, and if you believed, you could say to this mountain, be uprooted or be taken up and thrown into the sea. If you believed, you could say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea. I mean, if you believe, that isn't that interesting? Has anybody thrown a mountain in the sea lately? Anybody moved a mountain lately? Anybody walked on water lately? If any of you lacks wisdom, James chapter 1 says, let him ask the Father who would just gladly give it. But don't doubt. Because when you doubt, you're like a wave of the sea tossed back and forth. And consider that you'll never get anything from the Lord when you doubt. It's got to be the greatest battle in life to ask someone for something and then really expect them to come through with it. Isn't that true? He'll really come through for me. I'm not speaking of the Heavenly Father right now. I'm just thinking of one another. Does He really have my back? Is He really going to look out for me? Will He really come through? And then all of that gets projected onto God, right? And just in the last few days or weeks or months, how many times have we asked God and then immediately started wrestling with I could think of all the reasons He wouldn't, so that when He doesn't, then you don't feel so bad that God's not on your side. Instead of saying, I'm washed out from the beginning because I'm a doubter. I don't believe those old stories very well. I don't believe that He really said He would do what He would do. I don't believe that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, there was a poll not long ago that Americans had no real issue with the coming of Jesus because they felt like everybody was going to be okay. Muslim, Islam, Jews, all the way across the board, any religion that you could think of, well over 50%, pushing 3/4 of Americans thought just your good old boy neighbor was going to go to heaven. And it was all based on what I felt. If I felt that he was a good guy, then he was going to go to heaven. And my wrestle is not to make judgment on who's going to be there and who's not. What I want to say is we need to know Jesus and have a great faith in him. In all that he says and all that he does and all the promises that he has given us. John 17:3, one of those verses that you just have to have. This is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. And in my heart and in my mind, that verse wraps up everything. It wraps up the whole deal. I know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I know it's there, but it's not. If you don't know him, you're not going to love him. If you don't know him, you're not going to believe in him. And so we're all washed out, or we're not all washed out, but we wrestle, so many of us, for the fact that we don't know. We don't know him. So what do we believe? How can we believe in someone we don't know? How can we expect them to come through? How can we expect them to look out for us? The verse I want to go to that I want you to read with me this morning is Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed out of God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Nah. That's a mouthful, isn't it? That's such an easy verse to quote. What is faith? It's being sure what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. Gotcha. Well, I got that. What do you mean you have that? And what does that mean? And I'm not here to answer every question because I don't have all the answers. But I'm here to challenge me and encourage us that God is someone that is calling us to a great belief. And if he's calling us to a great belief, then he's calling us to a great knowledge and understanding of him, because you won't believe what you don't know. You won't be buying what you're not counting on. And there's no way that you can trust someone that you don't know. It's not going to happen. And so when he says faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see, there's a challenge there. There's a challenge that we're spending time somewhere with him. There's a challenge that surely this is if we want to look at the books in order, man, this is way toward the back. Somewhere here, the writer of Hebrews is saying, have you been listening? Have you been paying attention through all the other books? It's sure of what you've watched this man, or this being, this spiritual creature, this amazing man, Jesus. You've watched him. Is there anything he doesn't cover? Is there anything that he didn't challenge us in and bless us through? He's in everything and everywhere. In the next verse, Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You have faith, okay, even the demons believe and shudder. They're not saved. They're not in a saving relationship. They're not moved in relationship with God. They get it. They know he's the Holy One of God because they proclaimed it often. But faith that God is calling for is faith like the man whose friends lowered him on a mat in front of Jesus preaching in the house one day. And the scripture says, when Jesus saw their faith. A faith that had something to it. A faith that moved. A faith that lived. A faith that breathed. A faith that had this crazy confidence that if I rip this roof off this house and drop this man in front of Jesus, he'll do something about it. He didn't say he would. He didn't tell them to. He didn't make a deal. They just believed, like the woman who touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus is looking around, who touched me? What do you mean, who touched you? He felt power go out of him, and he looks around, the woman realizes she couldn't go unnoticed, says, it was me, and he says, your faith has healed you. They didn't have a deal behind the scenes. She took a great risk, didn't she? Was it a great risk? What did she have to lose? What do you have to lose? What do I have to lose? There's nothing else worth trusting, right? You got nothing to lose. Yet without faith, you have everything to lose. Next verse. I love this verse. It starts like this in Romans 10 and 14. How then can they call on one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of God. Faith comes through hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of God. And those of us who believe the word of God tell the story over and over, right? I mean, that's what we're called. We tell the story over and over. And the stories build because we have other stories, don't we? We take this message here, the story that he's told us as we watch Jesus heal and Jesus perform great miracles and bring back sight, raise people from the dead, and tell us that it's not just that I came to fix you physically, but I'm going to die for your sins. God has not abandoned you. He loves you. I didn't come the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it to the full, now and eternally, not just eternally. And so we're called to believe that Jesus came to make everything better for his children. Remember your creator in the days of your youth is what Solomon says. And we see it, those who have believed, right? We see our creator walking with us, talking with us, caring for us. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Really? He really cares for me. That passage actually means to throw, like not just go up this. It's been big and it's been hard and there's problems massive maybe the doctors could take care of it. God, do something. You hear the call, and those who believe say big prayers when he says, faith comes from hearing the message. We believe it, and where I was going with this is, and then faith adds more right things to it, right? We hear the message and we pray big prayers. Heal Steve Miller, right? And he does, and we tell those stories, right? And we read the word and we tell the stories and we start believing them that he really did save Jehoshaphat and he really did. Peter really was there knocking on the door while they were praying for him. Sure, he was dead. No, he's knocking on the door. No, it's got to be his ghost. No, it's Peter. It really is him. And then we tell the stories of Valerie Lee Masters and Eric Millers, the people that God has really done wonderful things in. And we wrestle and we keep praying for Kelly and Henry because we know he cares and he loves and he's doing something. This isn't his will. This is a fallen world. It's not his will that people go around destroyed and broken and hurt. It's the struggle of here, but we are his children. And he says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. Have you read what my book? Have you heard of it? Have you read it? Do you believe that when my son was there, he just waded through people loving and caring and healing and preaching and restoring sight to the blind, speech to the mute, and ultimately the greatest of all stories, right? The story of God sending his only son to fix it all. Right? He fixed it all. And so we hear the message and we hear the story. But somewhere it's got to get really personal. And that's where these stories like Steve and Valerie and Kelly and Henry and praying for jobs at the school. And the story's got to get personal, right? But they don't get personal if we don't know him. And they don't get personal if we don't get this relationship. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Somewhere it's got to get personal for me. And somewhere I got to believe so much greater in a God who says he'll take care of me than all the world around me with guns and knives and drugs. And that it's all going straight south in a handbasket. Because God loves us all, and he loves them all. And if we don't believe better and stronger, we're going to miss so many opportunities to serve him and save, allow him to save souls through us. Next verse, Hebrews 2, or Ephesians 2. For it is by grace you've been saved. I love this. Even the ability to believe and our salvation is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from him. So no wonder that we would wrestle with faith if we don't know him. Right? Let me say it again. It's a gift from him, so no wonder we would struggle with faith if we don't know him. I mean, we wrestle enough with one another who we do know. Give us a couple of days apart. A couple of days apart, and someone says, well, so-and-so said that you were. I can't believe that. Would he really say that about me? I can't believe she would say that about me. And then we get back together, and it's like, oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, I was just mistaken. And then we get apart from God, right? And we start to doubt a little bit. Well, no wonder. And someone says, Jesus is coming back tomorrow, and he's going to kick all your fannies right to. And you're like, oh, no. And then we read a word, right? We look for him a little bit. We start remembering that he says, no one knows the time. I know the time. And I'm not coming back with a stick to mash my people. I'm coming back with open arms because I love you. And it's not big and scary anymore, right? Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace you have been saved. It is by grace you have been saved. I wasn't mad. I didn't save you because I had to. Or, boy, if I don't do something for you, no one's going to do it. It was by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. Or not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. It's his desire and will that we would have faith. It's his gift that we would have faith, and that we could be saved. It's from him. But we got to know him. We got to be in a relationship with him, seeking him, looking out for. Next verse, please. I've heard it said many times, none any better than Steve Miller said it a few weeks ago. If you can get this one, he can get it all. If you believe this one, there's nothing any bigger, right? The deal is we can believe somewhere in us that God created the heavens and the earth, and somehow not believe that I matter to him, or that my prayer's a big deal, or that I could be going, God, I'm getting really tired of this rain. It's been raining forever, but never say it to him personally. I'll just say it, and I mean, I can't count on both hands and both feet how many people I've heard say, this rain is getting really old. And I'll say, won't you say it to him? He already heard you. Spit it out. He might be waiting on you to say something. You never know. See, it matters what you say, and it matters that you don't say anything. Because you don't have to be married very long for you to realize, my wife knows I need this, but somewhere along the line she's going, are you going to ask? Are you going to have respect? Yes, I can, your mind's little, you're a man, I can pretty much read it. Be nice for you to ask once in a while. Show we're in relationship, not just expect everything all the time. Vivian, I like when you smile, by the way. So we wrestle with this stuff. And we can say, yeah, I believe some God made something, but is he yours? Is he yours? Is it personal? Is it real? Do you really believe he cares if it's raining and you're not in the fields yet, or it's raining and your flowers won't grow, or it's raining and your grass is out of hand, it's raining and you're just miserably depressed? Yeah, he cares. He cares about it all. He cares about all of it. No matter what you've heard other preachers say. I'm kidding. He cares. He really, 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 really cares. And he's saying, would you please talk to me? Ask me. Just deal with me a little bit. Next verse. I love this God. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied, the fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, if you know Hebrew, and I don't know it well, the word here is Jehovah Jireh. That's what Abraham says to him. It's not some long sentence running on and on. It means God foresees and provides. He just named him. It'd be like saying Don Correll. And you would say, that man is a man of integrity. John Correll, he loves God and people. Jeff Gamp, he's a real deal, man. You can count on him. You know the people just like that, Jehovah Jireh. And Isaac just went right on because he knew the Lord will provide something. And the story goes on. We say it like this. The fire and wood are here. Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And they reached the place God had told him about. Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And because God had just called him to give his only son as a sacrifice, he was to tie him up and lay him on an altar and slay him, kill him right there. And that's where we are right now. God had asked Abraham to give his only son. And he says, what are we going to do? And he says, God will provide. And he's there ready to kill him. And the story goes on. Maybe I didn't put it on there. Sorry. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He flipped it already. Thank you. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But an angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed as a burnt offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. How powerful is that story? How awesome is that story that God called Abraham to do something and he moves to do it, knowing, did he know? What did he know? Well, he was sure of one thing. God had made a promise, and he wasn't going to fail in his promise. And if his son was going to go down, and God could resurrect him. One way or another, God was going to deal with this, and he did, right? And somewhere, our faith has to be moved by this stuff. And it has to get to something more than this. A lot of prayers turn out, and a lot of requests turn out to be, help me, Lord, right? Look out for me, Lord. I need, Lord. Provide for me, Lord. And real faith gets beyond just help me to living every day all in. Every day all in. That I wouldn't just be saying prayers like, I need you to fix my, I need you to help me with. And it would turn to, I want to walk with you every day because I know then my life will be different. It will be a life provided for, looked out for, surrounded by, hemmed in because of. You understand, we do a lot of praying for God to rescue, fix, take care of, and God's going, okay, how about walking with me? Maybe we wouldn't get into some of this stuff. How about walking with me so I could use you for someone else too, saying those help me, Lord, prayers. And what I'm wrestling with as we're talking about this is, it's the last week in my life. Me and some folks went to Honduras for a week, and you said big prayers, right? You said big prayers. You didn't say prayers just for protection. That was on the list. We expect protection. because he is the protector. David says, you hem me in behind and before. And we are so afraid to move that God doesn't have a shot to protect us or look out for us. In fact, it sounds a lot like doubt, right? But you can't doubt, because when you doubt, you're like a wave of the sea and you can't expect anything. And so when the elders send us off, they pray for souls. They pray for and we pray them for weeks in advance and weeks past, and while we're there, that souls would be saved, that the lives would be changed, that people would see God and be moved closer to him, and that we would be different, that God would be honored, that sunshine would be moved to a different place. The prayers are so deep and endless in all that is asked for, and all that is as we're talking to God about using and doing. And I just want to share for just a couple of minutes here that as God calls us in faith to be ambassadors, as God calls us in 2 Corinthians, I saved you, I've got you, now go. Be my ambassador in your church, in your neighborhood, in your county, in your community, in your state, in your country, in your world. There are a lot of prayers prayed, and I got to tell you a few things here, because just as we're wrapping up, and we got a few slides here. Here's a couple of things I want to share with you. Let me find my notes here. We built one house. This isn't our first house. The first house we built, this man had he had an injury. He lost his thumb and his index finger, and he could help with one hand. Tyler tried to hand him a hammer, right? And he couldn't. He said he couldn't grip it. He couldn't talk, but he couldn't even grip a hammer. But he worked like mad, and their gratitude was so incredible. And listen, the temperature was outrageous, and storm clouds kept circling, and one of the guys kept saying, it's going to rain. We kept saying, well, no, we got to get this house built. It'll rain when we're done. And not arrogantly, just saying, it'll rain when we're finished. And I remember saying, Lord, help it not to rain until we're finished. And this is, they have boomer storms there, and as soon as we were finished, the rain just kaboom, and we all ran into the house for shelter. The house we built them for shelter. And the second house here, you see the house, go back one, the house behind it, that was this lady's house. She's not a Christian. It's on the side of a mountain. And Jairo, the minister in the community there, met this woman, not a Christian, and he just felt so convicted to build a house for her. In her 80s, her daughter, their kids, her granddaughter, lots of people in this one little house above that house. Behind us, it looks like you got a tarp over something in your yard. That's her house. And it's made out of sticks tied together out of a tree. And then she found plastic somewhere and draped over it. And when we were finished, we went in and prayed with her. And one of us prayed in English. Jairo prayed in Spanish. Then she went on for like 5 minutes. This lady's not a Christian. And then she talked about how God had sent the North Americans to provide for her. She's not a Christian. But she knew God had sent North Americans to provide for her. And when I, come here, Tyler, when I went up to say something to her, to hug her, she looked at me and she kept doing this. She's like 80 years old, and she just kept running like my mom and my grandma, and just talking and talking and talking. Then she grabbed me and hugged me and kissed me on the neck. And no, I'm not kissing you. Ain't gonna happen. And you understand that this lady knew that she knew that God had used you. We didn't have money to go there by ourselves. You provided. He provided Jehovah Jireh. He provided for her. She's not a Christian. She didn't know. Next slide. Here's a good one. This is our bus driver. I wasn't convinced about driving, about not driving, about who knows. I mean, I love driving in Honduras. It's crazy, and I like driving. But we need a driver this year because we had too many people and it's safer. And this is Rafa. He was a Christian at one time, taught Bible school. Church was a mess. They couldn't get along, couldn't work together, and he just walked away. And wasn't doing anything, just driving a bus. And we kept praying for people and kept building houses. And then one day he got out and helped us start building. Handed stuff up to us, mi hermano, my brother. And he kept helping. He helped in the dump, and he helped with the homeless. And he played soccer with the little kids with us. Mi hermano, my brother, and would hug and talk about those things and encourage and laugh. And everything we did, he did. Everything we were a part of, he was a part of. And nobody preached to him. Nobody did anything. We just had fun in Honduras serving the Lord because people were praying and believed. Right? Faith, that's what it means. It means that you're walking with God and you trust him for everything. You can't fix it yourself. You can't. You'll only hold on and lose it all. But when you trust him, he will give it up. Next here. We don't have time. We're running out of time. Forget the slides. I just got to tell you a couple more stories real quickly. And then we're going to finish with the last slide here, Jacob. We went to feed at the homeless shelter. And I was sitting down talking to this girl who was with us. We had fed. Everybody's playing. One of the girls was sitting by herself. So whenever I said, "You okay?" "I'm fine." And this little girl named Scarlett, she's 16. She comes over to me. And she's got glue in her eyelids and on her face and everything. One of the guys who was high, huffing glue, got in a scrap and threw his glue and it went all in her face. And she came over and she raised my arm up and she laid here. And then she just lowered herself all the way down to my lap, grabbed my hand and put it on her head. And I'm rubbing her head and rubbing her shoulder, just kind of rubbing safely, rubbing, encouraging, "God loves you." Afterwards, Amber comes to me and says, and this is Amber, who I've watched love people like no other, wash wounds of cut up men with stitches, all kinds of crazy things. She says, "I cried so hard whenever I saw her laying on your lap and you rubbing her hair. It reminded me of Wayne." She said, "Because her mom tells her she's worthless every day. Everybody on the street uses her and nobody cares for her." And I'm sitting here going, someone was praying. Because I don't know this stuff, and I don't do this stuff. And you don't either. We don't do this stuff unless we listen, unless someone's praying, unless we're believing that God is going to do what he says he's going to do, because he is God. And he can protect, and he can lead, and he can move us to better places. And so here's what I'm getting at. God loves us. The call, this is eternal life, that we may know him. We could know him. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. We can know him like we know one another. And here's what I know. There are people in my life that sometimes I might wrestle with because of my emotions. But I know they got me. And I know they lay down their life for me. And I know there are folks that we might not get along the best because we butt heads once in a while because I'm strange and you're not. I get it. But I know you love me. And I know when it's said and done, you got me. But man, God loves like we never could. And the best of this earth pales in comparison to him. And he would not only lead us and guide us and protect us and direct us through his Holy Spirit to places that we need to go that we don't even know, but he also protect us along the way. But it takes asking and it takes believing against everything. And this trip to Honduras was my toughest before it ever happened. I got to confess this. Man, there were some folks that I count on and I believe in that couldn't go this year. And when they started dropping because of great reasons, I started struggling in me. I trust people, and I trust what they're doing. But I'm also listening, and so when they're falling out, not being able to go, I'm going, "Whoa, what is going on here? Something isn't right." And I'm praying, "God, help me see, is this not right? Is it right? Is it not right? What am I..." And the more that people couldn't go, the more I would struggle. And then I got alone one day, instead of all the running and praying and running and praying and running and praying, I said, "I just got to get clear with you. I am pressed about Honduras, and I believe it's from you. I know that not everybody can go always, but I feel like I'm supposed to go, and if I'm not, help me see it. But if I am, help me quit looking at people and stuff and trust you." And immediately, every prayer seemed like I would ask for was not just answered, but boom, gotcha. Boom, gotcha. Boom, gotcha. I put these glasses, these things you're looking at, I picked them up the day we left and started putting them in my backpack. And I thought, I don't need these glasses. I hate these glasses. I got glasses. And I didn't remember putting them in. And the first day, first hour I was there, I broke my glasses. We weren't even working. You know how clumsy I am? And I'm like, why didn't God? I know you. Oh, yeah, I had those glasses in my backpack. Everything, everywhere, all the time. He was just blowing down doors, knocking down walls, opening opportunities, and providing dork glasses for a weirdo. But he took care, and I could see, all right? This is eternal life, that they would know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. It is about eternal life. But it's about life right now as well. And it's not really about that, though it is. It's about a trust and a relationship that is so deep that somewhere we just give up and say, take over. I know you got me. I know you have me. I know everything will be fine. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den, David and the giant. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of 1,000 warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd had the strength to stand. Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is just that we would trust God and not fall in our doubt and fail in our doubt. Let's pray. God, we love you. And while I'm up here running my mouth, you know the weakness in my heart. And I pray you'll forgive me for that and that you'll help me be stronger. Because, God, there's nothing, nothing like serving you, and there is no one like you. You dwell on high, yet you walk with us. Bless us today, Lord, and if there's anyone that needs to respond to this invitation, if they want to become your child, I pray they would walk forward and meet one of the elders here and give their lives to you in baptism. And if they struggle, call them forward and ask them to pray with them and all of us to pray with them. God, we love you and we desperately need you, and we praise you today. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Whatever you desire to do, why don't you come as we stand and sing.